Hey, this is Jeff Lewis from Radio Andy. Live and uncensored, catch me talking with my friends about my latest obsessions, relationship issues, and bodily ailments. With that kind of drama that seems to follow me, you never know what's going to happen.
You can listen to Jeff Lewis Live at home or anywhere you are. Download the SiriusXM app for over 425 channels of ad-free music, sports, entertainment, and more. Subscribe now and get 3 months free. Offer details apply.
Tonight, the mandatory evacuations underway as Florida braces for Hurricane Ian. Hundreds of thousands ordered to evacuate on Florida's west coast. Watches and warnings in effect. All of Florida under a state of emergency. Ian rapidly intensifying, now a Category 2 storm with 100-mile-an-hour winds. The impact, potentially catastrophic, up to 20 inches of rain. Al Roker with the track. Also tonight, the terrifying video, a gunman opening fire at a military recruitment office in Russia as backlash to Vladimir Putin's war draft grows. And news about former NSA contractor turned whistleblower Edward Snowden, what Putin has now granted him. Shots fired inside a Chicago police station, how a SWAT training session took a very real turn. New fallout from the welfare scandal with ties to Brett Favre. What his newly revealed text messages with a former governor show. Our NBC News exclusive, the head of the DEA with a new warning for parents about deadly opioids made to look like candy, a danger for children. The mission right out of the movies, NASA aiming tonight to smash a spacecraft into an asteroid millions of miles from Earth, how it could one day save humanity.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. As we join you tonight, large-scale evacuations are underway in West Central Florida. Tampa this evening sitting in the current projected path of Hurricane Ian. The system forecasters have been watching develop for days. Now a Category 2 hurricane and intensifying as it bears down on western Cuba with sustained winds of 100 miles per hour. Expected to make landfall mid to late week somewhere along the Florida Gulf Coast. Right now, heavy traffic on roads leading from the Tampa area, where hundreds of thousands are now under mandatory evacuation orders. The rituals of disaster in full motion, a run on food, gas, and supplies underway in many areas. Let's start tonight with the latest tracking update. Al Roker joins us. Al, what are you seeing?
Well, Lester, here is the latest from the National Hurricane Center. As you mentioned, a Category 2 storm, winds 100 miles per hour, 155 miles southeast of the western tip of Cuba, moving northwest at 13 miles per hour. We have hurricane warnings, watches, and tropical storm warnings for much of Florida as we move to the north. 19 million people at risk for those warnings. The path of the storm, here's the good news. The good news is we're going to see some wind shear as this comes closer to landfall, and that will weaken it. The bad news, two bad things. We've got Gulf waters that are upwards of 5 degrees warmer than usual. That fuels the storm, and it's going to slow down about 3 to 4 miles per hour. We can walk that fast, and that's going to bring prolonged rain, wind, and storm surge. In fact, you speak about the winds. You look here right through Thursday into Friday morning, sustained winds 45 to 60 miles per hour with gusts of up to 90 miles per hour, storm surge 5 to 10 feet. That could be catastrophic. Upwards of 2 to 4 feet as you get down to the south. And we're looking at upwards of 20 inches of rain, Lester. That is going to be a big, big problem as we move into the week. But we'll continue to track it and fine-tune that track. Lester?
All right, Al, thanks for that update. Tonight, all of Florida under a state of emergency amid fears the Tampa area could see its first direct hit from a major hurricane in more than a century. Sam Brock is on the ground there.
Tonight, Floridians on the move, hoping to avoid disaster. After mandatory evacuations were issued in multiple counties for hundreds of thousands of people.
We did not make this decision easily, but this storm poses a serious threat, and we must do everything we can to protect our residents.
The call coming as Tampa projects to see double-digit storm surge, 100-mile-an-hour plus sustained winds. Florida challenged by an aging population with less mobility.
We ask that our long-term care facilities begin their evacuations today. We're already seeing some of our hospitals do that.
Some families now making the decision to hit the road.
I don't know how good of a job that's going to do.
Anna Griggs is evacuating to a hotel.
You want some help? Okay.
The mother of two teenagers lives blocks from the bay. They're not sure what they'll even return to.
You stand to lose a good chunk of your livelihood if there's damage to this house.
We do, yes.
Is that your biggest concern?
I think it is. It's partly that, but it's also the fact that this is our home.
This is their roots. This is attachment.
Yeah.
And that could be severely damaged, if not destroyed.
Yeah.
Supplies are in high demand. Residents waiting in lines for hours for sandbags.
How long have you been waiting this morning?
I've been here about since 5 a.m.
About 5:30.
And water supplies running thin.
I just got here and it's kind of insane that there's no water here.
Challenges all unfolding with a storm whose wrath has yet to be fully felt.
It's really scary. I think it's not so much about losing your stuff. I think it's just about this is a home. And that would be really sad if that happened.
And Sam, we're talking about a lot of people on the move. What does the evacuation look like at this hour?
Lester, just starting. Behind me is Clearwater and Pinellas County, which began the process tonight of evacuating some 300,000 people, then 400,000 tomorrow. This is the storm is projected to slow down to the rate that you and I walk at, meaning the storm will be sitting here just dumping water and ratcheting up the risk for flooding. Lester?
All right, Sam Brock, thank you. And as Ian marches northwest, a hurricane warning in effect tonight for western Cuba. Guad Venegas is there for us in Havana. And Guad, how serious is the situation there tonight?
Lester, 5 million people in Cuba are under hurricane alert. It's expected to touch down as a Category 3 in the west part of the country. These are winds of 129 miles per hour. They're expecting 6 to 8 inches, maybe 10 inches of rain. Pinar del Río, this is the province that will get the worst. They have about 500,000 people there, 50,000 already evacuated by the military. We're getting reports that four reservoirs in that part of the country are already overflowing. Now, here in Havana, the U.S. Embassy has asked Americans to shelter in place. They shut down today and tomorrow. In fact, the water you're seeing next to me expected to rise and affect some of these buildings in Havana. Lester?
Guad Venegas, thank you. We'll turn now to Russia and the growing backlash to Russian President Vladimir Putin's order to draft 300,000 more troops to fight in Ukraine. As protests grow, a gunman opened fire in a draft office in Siberia today. Aaron McLaughlin now with the video, and we should warn you, the images are disturbing.
Today in eastern Russia, terror. A man opens fire at the military enlistment office as everyone else runs for it. One officer injured, the suspect under arrest. According to local media reports, the suspect was shouting, "No one will go to fight." Troubling signs, the response to Russian President Putin's order sending reservists to the front lines is growing violent. The attack following a rare weekend of protest from St. Petersburg, with some demonstrators struck by police, to Dagestan, where gunfire went off within the crowd. Thousands risked arrest to rail against mobilization, as many more dodge the draft any way they can. Lines of cars to cross the border into Finland and Georgia. Traffic jams extending for miles, though others are reporting to draft offices. This man saying his mother was unhappy, but what can he do? We have to defend our country. But in Russian-occupied areas of Ukraine tonight, some say young men of draft age are now going missing. Zainish Hussein fled the eastern city of Kherson 3 weeks ago.
They go missing, right? Like, they just drag them out of their homes and take them somewhere.
That claim is Russia is poised to annex occupied areas once the controversial referendum to join Russia, that critics call a sham election, is over toward the end of the week. Tonight in Russia, Edward Snowden was granted citizenship. No response so far from the former NSA contractor who's wanted in the United States, accused of espionage. Lester.
Aaron, thank you. Also in Russia today, a horrific shooting at a school leaving at least 17 people dead, including 11 children. 24 others were wounded. Investigators say the gunman, a 34-year-old former student who was wearing a T-shirt with Nazi symbols, took his own life. No motive has been released. Back home, a shocking incident inside a police station in Chicago. Investigators say a man climbed a fire escape 5 stories to infiltrate the facility while officers were in SWAT training. Police say he entered a room where guns were on a table, grabbed at least 2, and pointed them at officers. The suspect was shot and sustained non-life-threatening injuries. Police say the guns were not loaded with live ammunition, but may have contained training ammo. There is a new twist in a Fleecing of America story we've been reporting on about the misuse of welfare funds in Mississippi. Attorneys for the former governor releasing new text messages with Brett Favre, the NFL legend, caught up in the scandal. Ken Delaney now on what they reveal.
NFL Hall of Famer Brett Favre is under growing pressure tonight. Sirius Radio putting his weekly football show on pause, as a new court filing says the former football star waged a campaign to aggressively lobby for millions of dollars from the state welfare agency to finish building a volleyball facility at his alma mater, the University of Southern Mississippi, where his daughter played the sport, and also a football practice facility. New texts show Favre in contact with then-Governor Phil Bryant and other state officials as he pushed to secure funding meant for people in poverty. "I need your influence somehow to get donations and/or sponsorships," Favre texted Bryant in April 2017. Court records show he secured $5 million but needed more. Even after state auditors began to raise questions, Favre kept lobbying. In September 2019, he texted Bryant that he wanted to name the volleyball complex after the governor. "We obviously need your help big time, and time is working against us," Favre texted. Bryant replied, "We're going to get there, but we have to follow the law. I'm too old for federal prison." The former governor says he did not know officials used millions from the federal welfare program to construct the sports complex. Bryant's former welfare director pleaded guilty to state and federal crimes last week in the growing scandal. He also agreed to cooperate with the FBI, which has been investigating the welfare misspending for 2 years. Tonight, Favre's lawyer tells me his client behaved honorably and did not know the state grants he sought came from federal welfare funds. He noted that former Governor Bryant is not accusing Favre of violating any laws. Favre has not been charged. Lester?
Ken Delaney, and thank you. Now to our NBC News exclusive. They're calling it rainbow fentanyl, potentially deadly opioids made to look like candy. Tonight, the head of the DEA speaking out to our Kate Snow with a warning for parents.
This is on the wall at DEA headquarters in Washington. Thousands of faces gone because of fentanyl.
So you're adding to the wall every day.
Every day.
It's overwhelming to see in person.
Now lawmakers on both sides of the aisle demanding action. Authorities overwhelmed. So many deaths in Los Angeles, the school district is now putting the overdose-reversing drug Narcan in every school, K through 12. DEA Administrator Ann Milgram is deeply concerned about the latest trend, traffickers pushing so-called rainbow fentanyl.
They're making rainbow-colored pills, so all the colors of the rainbow.
Why do you think they're doing that?
So we believe that they're doing this to get new users, to appeal to younger users. We're finding it all over the social media platforms. It looks like candy. And in fact, some of the drug traffickers have nicknamed it Sweet Tarts, Skittles.
It has nothing to do with candy.
It has nothing to do with candy. And we should say this as clearly as we possibly can. Many people who are dying from fentanyl poisoning have no idea that they're taking fentanyl.
They've found rainbow fentanyl in 21 states. Milgram says it's a marketing ploy by the cartels.
This is another tactic that they're using to get more fentanyl to more people. The more drugs they can sell, the more addiction they drive, the more profit they make.
She says the DEA knows raw ingredients for fentanyl travel from China to Mexico, and she blames 2 Mexican cartels for producing the drug. In the 4 months between May and September, the DEA seized more than 10 million fake pills containing fentanyl.
That's the equivalent of 36 million, more than 36 million lethal doses of fentanyl.
Enough to kill 36 million people.
Enough to kill 36 million people.
Republicans have been incredibly critical of the border policy. They say all this fentanyl is coming in because of the Biden administration's border policies. What do you say to that?
First of all, we, of course, defer to the Department of Homeland Security that has a responsibility for the border. Our job is to dismantle the cartels, to stop the global trafficking that is happening. We cannot wait. We cannot wait until the fentanyl gets to the border or to the ports to act.
Milgram says she comes to this wall often, a reminder that the job of the DEA is to save lives. Kate Snow, NBC News, Washington.
And you can catch much more of Kate's exclusive with the DEA administrator tomorrow on Today. In 60 seconds, NASA aiming for a cosmic crash, the mission to smash an asteroid that sounds right out of Hollywood, and naming heat waves like hurricanes. Could it save lives?
The UN Refugee Agency, or UNHCR, responds to emergencies and provides long-term solutions for refugees. They provide aid in over 130 countries, including Ukraine, Syria, Afghanistan, and Sudan, where people are forced to flee from war and persecution at their greatest moment of need. UNHCR helps and protects refugees by providing food, shelter, medical care, and other life-saving essentials. The agency jumpstarts relief in three key ways. They transport core relief items stored in even the most remote areas of the world. They deploy expert emergency staff trained to help in crisis situations. And they transfer funds directly to support the emergency. Because of generous supporters and donors, UNHCR can scale up its response within 72 hours of a large-scale emergency. Your support helps provide life-saving aid for refugees whenever and wherever emergencies occur. Donate to USA for UNHCR by visiting unrefugees.org/donation.
It's like a scene out of a movie. Can NASA stop an asteroid from hitting Earth? Tonight, NASA is testing a new technique that could one day be used to divert killer asteroids. Here's Tom Costello.
Oh, my goodness.
Traveling at 14,000 miles per hour, NASA's DART spacecraft in time-lapse tonight. Its final seconds before slamming into a harmless asteroid named Dimorphos, orbiting a bigger asteroid 7 million miles away. In typical NASA precision, bullseye.
Woo! Fantastic.
NASA's goal, to slam DART into Dimorphos and nudge it slightly off course.
For the first time, humanity has demonstrated the ability to autonomously target and alter the orbit of a celestial object.
It'll take a week or more before NASA can analyze data from telescopes on Earth and in space to tell if DART successfully gave Dimorphos a tiny push, a critical test if NASA hopes to use the same technique to one day divert a mega asteroid from hitting Earth. Potentially a real-life threat to the global population, NASA Chief Bill Nelson.
It may be the clue of what we could do in the future to try to save life here on Earth.
NASA says it does not see any asteroid posing an imminent threat to Earth. But in 2013, a massive meteor escaped detection and exploded over a remote Russian village, injuring 1,500 people.
Impacts from asteroids have had a profound effect on the history of life on Earth. You know, you can ask the dinosaurs about that.
Asteroids the size of Dimorphos hit the Earth every 20 to 25,000 years. So while astronomers don't see an immediate threat, the Russian explosion underscores the need for a planetary defense system like DART. Lester?
Tom, thanks. Up next, our exclusive why officials are naming heat waves just like hurricanes. Now our NBC News exclusive. With Hurricane Ian taking aim at Florida and high temperatures hugging the coast, Kerry Sanders with the warning from new heat officers about the sometimes unseen dangers of extreme heat.
One of the hottest NFL tickets Sunday was the Dolphins and Bills game, but not because the matchup was such a nail-biter. At least four Bills players suffered heat exhaustion.
Sometimes the best option is to come in and get another IV.
Doctors say with Hurricane Ian approaching and bottled water in short supply, there is an important game day lesson. When a hurricane hits, power is often knocked out, sometimes for weeks. Mark Malinak remembers enduring 2 weeks without electricity with his family when Hurricane Irma hit 4 years ago.
What was it like just living without AC in Florida?
Yeah, it's miserable. I think 2 hours without power is too much. Definitely the house got up into the mid-90s quickly.
Adding to the problem, Florida's hyper growth.
This is what we might call a concrete jungle.
This is an urban heat island.
In Miami, Jane Gilbert, among the nation's first so-called heat officers, with volunteers placing sensors to keep tabs on how hot it can get.
Extreme heat is the number one climate-related killer across the country and here locally.
Nationwide heat waves now so common, some communities across the country may categorize and name heat threats the same way hurricanes are named.
All right, let's check and see how hot it is where we are seated, which is 145 degrees.
So oh, my God.
When we sit here.
That is quite, I feel it.
Yeah. It's too much.
It is. It's not tolerable.
Tonight, a warning to those who do not evacuate. After the wind and the storm surge, the next danger will be the heat. Lester?
All right, Kerry, thanks. And that's Nightly News for this Monday. Thank you for watching, everyone. I'm Lester Holt. Please take care of yourself and each other. Good night.
Radio Andy.
Hey, it's Andy Cohen. Join me on Andy Cohen Live, where it's just you, me, and some of the world's biggest celebrities.
Paris Hilton.
Chelsea Handler.
Seth Rogen.
I love you, Miley.
Thank you
so much.
You can listen to Andy Cohen Live at home or anywhere you are. No car required. Download the SiriusXM app for over 425 channels of ad-free music, sports, entertainment, and more. Subscribe now and get 3 months free. Offer details apply.